Just lift up your voice and give him praise. For his goodness is running after you. He's watching over his word to perform it in your life and to cause changes for the better. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Father, we pray this morning that as your word comes to us, it will spark positive change in our lives. Lord, we ask that you touch our hearts.
Yes, Jesus.
That we'll receive your word and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Please put your hands together for the choir. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. I believe you had a great week. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, from verse 9? Matthew 6 from verse 9. If you are there, say amen. All right. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And this was one of the scriptures I used the last time I was here. And today I'm going to pick it up from here as we talk about the power and the glory. The power and the glory. Last Sunday, Pastor Yara talked about the riches of the glory of his inheritance that's made available to us. By reason of his death and resurrection. And many times in Christianity, I've seen people talk about how much benefits we have by reason of being Christians, how much Christ has made available to us, how powerful Christ is, and all the wonderful things that come with Christianity. And something that has always been a curious question for me is, why do Christians still live ordinary lives? Why do things happen to Christians just like everybody else? And a lot of Christians suffer through it and just live with as though there's no ability to change anything. And there's an approach of the word of God, like something that is abstract. So you just read the Bible and say, amen, amen, oh, God will help us, amen. But this morning, I want to point out that in Christianity, we continuously, perpetually live in the manifestation of God's power. And it is your duty to ensure that that power is manifested on earth. It's your duty. And attached to the power of God is his glory. So it's not two separate things we're talking about. It's the fact that every time God shows his power, it manifests. His glory is sitting on it. But a lot of times in the Old Testament, you would see where, you know, God comes in the cloud, he comes in the smoke, fire, shows himself in different means, different ways, intervenes in the lives of men. And people knew him as a mighty God that intervenes in the lives of men. In the New Testament, he comes in the person of Jesus. And he comes to not just show us his power, but he comes to show us how to manifest his power for the world to see. And as Jesus was leaving, he said, greater things than this, greater things than what you have seen me do, will you do? And one of the scriptures that Pastor Yato pointed out last Sunday was Matthew 28, where Jesus came and said at his resurrection that all power, all in heaven and on earth is given unto me. I don't know if you can comprehend the weight of that statement. For somebody, a mortal being, to stand and say, all power, all in heaven and on earth is given unto me. And it goes on and begins to tell us, behold, I give unto you power. So it's sitting there, it's made available to us. But just before I continue to spell out what is made available to us, I want to point out something. In Matthew 6, what we just read, just before he mentions the kingdom, the power, and the glory, he says, for thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. Who are we talking to? God. You're telling him. And the first thing I would like to point out of three things we'll be talking about today is, number one, try not to be tempted at any point in your life to believe that the successes or the things that are going well in your life are because of your power. Don't be tempted to believe that the things that you are getting grades is because you are smart. Your grades are good. Your business is working well because I'm good, I'm smart. Try not to be full of yourself when you start walking with God. An example is the story of Saul. Saul is a good-looking man, tall, heads and shoulders above all the men of Israel. And he had done great things as the king. And at some point, God gave him an instruction, go and destroy the Amalekites. It was Saul, tall, powerful man. He went on, destroyed them. But he did one thing. Instead of destroying them completely, he picked the things he liked and brought them back. And the prophet of God showed up. He says, what is this that I hear? Have you gone against the instruction of God? And he said something extremely powerful. He said, when you were little, in your own eyes, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, when you could pray, when you could fast, when you could depend on God, when you could feel like, oh, I'm not strong enough, but let me put my best into it. When you were little in your own eyes, God raised you. Now you have become too big. One sure way to know that the grace of God in your life has become stunted is when you start ascribing success and glory to yourself. Consider your ways. Think of the things that you do right now. And I'll give an example. Say you got a job in an office. The first time you got that job, they gave you that big check. You were excited. When they give you tasks to do at work, they say, go and do this. You hurry. You do it. Excited. Stay a little bit late. You know, why not? You stay. When you felt like you were grateful for the earnings, for the status of your life that has changed. You that could not afford a brand new car, you walk into a dealership, you pick up a car. You are excited about the job. Things are going well. They call you, oh, we need you to come in an extra day. You say, why not? I'm going to come in. Great. After some months, you become comfortable. Then you start saying, how much are they paying me, sir? Sir, my hours are between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Send me a 2-week notice if you want anything else from me. Then they don't like you at the company anymore. And they're looking for ways to kick you out. And you are offended when you were little in your own eyes. Everyone loved you. Became proud and comfortable. The Lord is saying to us, in all of the riches of his glory, in all the things he has made available to you, don't ever get to the point where you forget that it's not by power, that it's not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. The anointing of God was on the life of Samson. Every time he moved great. He did amazing things. It was undeniable, the power of God that reflected in the life of that man. But he met Delilah, and after pressure, she caught his hair. The Bible said he went out. Every other time, he said he was moved by the Spirit of God. He was moved by the Spirit of God. But when he had become full of himself, he went out. They had cut his hair. He still went out to shake himself as other times. Next verse, they took him. Careful now. Don't get to the point in your life where you are so full of yourself that you do not know when the Spirit of God is cautioning you to calm down. Number one. Number two. Okay, so number two, I will talk about the power of God is not a magic wand. The power of God is not something you switch on when you like. Then you just quickly pick up one scripture and just read it and say, God, work for me. It's not a magic wand. As a matter of fact, one of the things I've always believed in is that the difference between a miracle, when a miracle happens, people are praying and all of a sudden a blind man starts to see. Someone that cannot walk starts to walk. The difference between a miracle and magic, when someone goes abracadabra, magic, is who is getting the glory. If God's hand is on you and he has moved you to start doing great things. People are calling you, oh, man of God, woman of God. Oh, maybe it's not church, maybe it's your business, or maybe it's your school. You're amazing. All of a sudden, it becomes a show off for your glory. You have switched from the power of God to magic. You want to be careful with that. And one of the reasons why we are constantly encouraged by God to build relationship with him is because the power of God does not function in the way men expect the power of God to function. It's not under the dictates of men. It's God's divine intervention in the life of men. And guess what? It's not a surprise. There are some people that you have not built, you have not taken the time build yourself. In the book of Jude, the Bible talked about building up yourself in the most holy spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. You have not taken time to imbibe the scriptures into your life. When something now goes wrong, you now jump out and expect the miracle to happen. It's not a surprise. You can call a whole prayer chain. It is still not a surprise. If you look through the scriptures, every time a miracle happened, somebody instigated it. Somebody was not shocked. It was the crowd that were shocked. Jesus was walking and the woman with the issue of blood touched him. And he said, who touched me? Power has left me. Disciples were saying, how can you, didn't you see the crowd? He knew. He said, who touched me? And she said, hey, it is her. She had watched him. She had proposed in her heart that if I can push through all of these people and touch him. Is it not surprising that there are many people in the church touching Jesus, praying, singing, touching him anyhow, but you touch him without intention and nothing is happening? One of the things I've proposed in my heart to do is every time, when the Bible talks about praying without ceasing, it's not enough to pray morning. I did 1 hour morning devotion. In the evening, pray evening. I did 1 hour prayer and just live the rest of your life the way you like. It's not enough. It's a constant, without ceasing type of prayer. Where every moment you are free, every moment you are sitting down, every moment you are not thinking, you switch back to the Word of God. Constantly. Pray without ceasing. Making melodies in your heart unto God. Continuously. The Bible talked about in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 18. You can go there if you want. Ephesians 5:18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, when a lot of people go through this particular scripture, I always find it interesting because they use it to argue. Is it good to drink? No, don't drink. Bible says you know that. You miss the whole point. Because he was making an analogy of how to behave. And there's a similarity, whether you like it or not, between a man that's drunken with wine and a man that is full of the spirits. There is. So leave the argument. Focus on the point he was trying to make. What happens when you are drunk with wine? They say you are bothering the whole day, stressing you out. Drink something, your brain becomes light. Things, you've not smiled since morning. When you drink, you start smiling. Be happy. Start talking. People that you don't know. Someone that is an introvert, that is quiet, will be drunk. I say, ah, boss, how are you? Greet everybody in your neighborhood and they are wondering. Ah. It's a behavior. What Paul is trying to point out here is wine. It makes you behave, but there's a better way. There's something else that is able to influence your behavior. That is able to cause change in your life other than being drunk with wine. So it was not about the argument of drink or no drink. The Bible says that Anna was drunk. She had an issue. She had been scorned. She had been abused. She had been told, you are barren. You can't, you are not a woman. You are just a furniture in this house. Can't you go away? And she was pained in her heart. And she went to God.
She went to God. She could not even talk. She was, I can imagine her mouth was just shaking. And the prophet, so I said, are you drunk? Are you seeing that there's a similarity? There's how there'll be pain in your heart. There's how there'll be troubles. That when you seek God, you cannot even talk. You'll be groaning with groans that cannot be uttered. Have you seen people praying and they're on the floor? Just, it's pain. The Bible says, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, that all the fear, they were hiding. That place where they were hiding. All the fear left them. They opened the windows. Started praying in the Holy Ghost. People that looked were like, this is just morning. How can these people be drunk? At this time of the morning? But something else had taken them over. Brothers and sisters, pray without ceasing. It changes who you are. It starts to incubate the power of God in such a way that when people see you, they can't recognize who you were. In the morning, you're going to work. Turn on the radio. What are you listening to? Listen to Fox. Listen to CNN. Listen to gossip. Listen to blog. Listen to everything else. And fear starts to control your life. That's not the way of a Christian. In the morning, you're supposed to fill your heart. We just read it. With psalms. Spiritual songs. When I go to work every day, on the drive to work, turn it up. Fill my heart with his word. There's audio Bible. There are messages. There are songs. Fill your heart with his word. So that when you walk into the office, you're already winning. You can't spend all your money listening to random songs. You get to work, you are tired. In the car, you turn up the volume. Watch me weep. Watch me nene. You get to work. No productivity. I have no issue with music, but know when to load yourself with things that will provide value for you. How can you, a Christian, you are complaining that in your office nobody likes you? How? What did you do that nobody is liking you? Constantly. Refill, refresh, reload yourself with the word of God so that when challenges come at you, you should be the one that you're sitting on your desk, you're always mumbling something. They're like, what's this guy always talking about? What's he talking about? Your name comes up in a meeting that you are not there. They say, leave that one. We don't know what he's always saying. Why? Because there's another representative. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as your advocate. So as you're on your table advocating, talking to him, he's somewhere else where you cannot be, speaking for you. What are you doing? Wasting time listening to music. Nothing productive. I like the way Pastor John used to say it. When I was much younger, I lived in Pastor John's house. He would say, that thing you are doing, is it edifying? It would be like, Pastor John has come again. It was everything be edifying. I'm standing here many years later telling you that yes, it has to be edifying. There's something that is... When I left Nigeria, I was under the illusion that in America, things are going well. All this prayer we do in Africa, we want to kill ourselves with prayer. We come to America, there's no need. We talk calmly in America. We don't fight. We don't fight demons. Sir, I stand here to tell you, the demons here, they are subtle, but they are here. And if you don't put on the whole armor of God, at every point in time in your life, you will become a victim of the society. Brothers, one of the things that we must not do is the Bible says it is foolish to compare ourselves with ourselves. Don't go and be comparing yourself with another man. You, that your great grandfather was healing madness. It was his job. He was taking madness and putting on other people. You now come to a place where the other people, you are comparing yourself with them. They say, pray. You say, no, we don't pray in America. The people that your great-grandfather are owing money. What is following you is much stronger than what you can imagine. I was just talking about alcohol. It is a very personal conversation. I don't even quarrel with people about it. They're telling you, oh, don't drink. You say, no, I drink. Okay, no problem, anyone. But no, the person you are sitting next to is an enjoy man. They can drink a whole bottle or a jerry can of supple water and nothing will happen. You drink small snap, small, what do you call it, Corona. And you start telling everybody your secret. And you are arguing with that man whether drinking is okay. Stay there. You have to know yourself. Know where adversity is coming to look for you from. And guard your heart with all diligence. You have to know. You have to know. The troubles of... the troubles of this life is always not natural. You be in one place, you work for 3 months, they ask you to go. Be in another place, you work for 3 months, they ask you to go. You try to go to school, you don't graduate. And you think your adversity is the same as another man's own. It's time to take stock of yourself and understand that the presence and the power of God has been paid for, has been given to you. But if you don't tailor it down to your spirit and make it your second nature, so that when anybody pinches you, when anybody shouts at you, when you see trouble in your life, it's the word of God that is coming out, you will always be defeated. Don't do that. Arm yourself. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. To stand. When the anointing of God is on your life, in a moment we'll get to respecting the anointing, but when the anointing of God is on your life, part of the things you must do is know how to behave yourself. You must understand how to behave yourself. The Bible said that David was now in the palace. He was now in the palace. He had been anointed already, but he was serving in the palace. And he behaved himself wisely. He didn't go there and say, the anointing of God is on my head. Let's look at nature. If you look at nature, there's the behavior of people at different cadres of life. When people feel they are young, they are wild, you know, they dress, show parts of their body, you know, they are focused on muscles, focused on, it's the cadre, it's how you move as a certain class in your life. But as you begin to go up in life, there are certain behaviors you have to drop. Certain behaviors you have to drop. Before, you are someone that you can embarrass yourself anyhow, do what you like in public. When you have kids, there are things you will do. Your children will say, Dad, Mom, embarrassing us. So you have to coordinate yourself as a parent. There's the kind of money you make in life. You cannot move anyhow. There's the movement, the everyday movement of the regular man just driving to a place. That's how you make money, Uncle Ken. That's how you will make money. You are just sitting down by yourself. Nobody is talking. But Uncle Ken, that's how you will make money. That when you stand up, somebody will be at the door, say, Ego One is coming. Clear the way. Close the gate. That's how you move as a wealthy person. You can't just move anyhow. Before you step outside, people are looking left and right. Because that's how you move in recognition of the cadre of life that you have entered. Do you know that as a man that carries the power and the presence of God, that's how you move? That's how you move. It's no longer the argument of is he right, is he wrong. You cannot embarrass the anointing of God on your life in public and expect it to work for you. I like the scripture Pastor Peter quoted when my father-in-law was traveling. He said, the man of God does no strife. When the anointing of God is on you, you can't be the one fighting outside. There's no strife. And I learned something interesting this week. I went on a, what they call a jail tour. Just went to some of the jails in Arizona with a legal class to just see some of the, how it operates. And something surprised me.
Many times, people in our society use different terminologies, or whatever you terminology call it, and they say, oh, nobody can talk to me. I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl now. Nobody can tell me what to do. I do what I like, when I like, how I like. That's common, right? A lot of the young guys in our society. A lot of times, you go to a place and you see a lot of young people sitting down, and you see an older person will enter. Nobody will greet.
Just look at the person, say, yeah, Jim.
And you see, it's how we are, it's our society. You know, all those things are not for the Western world. I found out this week when I went to the jail tour that it's a lie. Because they showed us the facilities, and at some point they showed us people that were in jail. They looked scary. They looked scary. We were about 50 feet away. They were not near us. All of us were scared to pass. They had to shift them. But guess what? As scary as those men looked, one correctional officer, one, would say, guys, move. He didn't say two times, they all moved. Those are the outlaws of the society. They can follow instruction. If you do not comport yourself in a way that will keep you relevant in society, and you think that misbehavior is the way, that instruction that you say you cannot follow outside, you will follow it in jail. You will. So this is not the place nor the time for anyone to start acting irrationally. There's an anointing on your head as a child of God. There's a movement that follows that anointing. If it's going to ever work for you, if you're ever going to speak words of hope and of life and of power to your life and change things, there's a way to move. Let's look at it. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, in this story, Saul had died. Jonathan had died. And a young man comes to David to tell David that Saul had died. David was pained. And David said, tell me, how did Saul die? And the young man said, oh, I saw him falling upon his sword, and he was being pursued after, and I killed him to save him from shame. Nobody understood the weight of the anointing more than David in the Bible. David said, you were not afraid to touch the Lord's anointing. There should be a fear about you. Today, that the anointing of God sits on your head, you have the Holy Spirit. God is not going to go outside somewhere and manifest himself. It's in you. There should be a fear of how you comport yourself. Later on, David was mourning Saul. And he said, hey, Saul, a mighty man. How did you die as if you were not anointed? It means that there are certain things that should not happen to a man that is anointed. Are you aware of it? Do you recognize the anointing of God in your life? Do you run around like someone that is without anointing? Do you know that how you respond, how you speak about the anointing of God in your life will determine its functionality with you? One of the things I have seen in life is that rain will fall on the good, on the bad, on the wicked, on the faithful. Sickness will come around. Pains will come around. Anybody that says, oh, as a Christian, you won't feel any of this, it's a lie. Our daddies are here. You have seen pain in your life. Things have not worked out the way you thought it would work out. How you respond to it is everything. If adversity comes to you and you respond as a failure, the response, you have already failed. Pray morning till night, you have already failed. Because you have to understand the anointing inside of you. This, it requires response. It requires you being able to have a stockpile of the word of God to respond. Otherwise, it will not work. How
How do you respond when troubles come to you? Do you cry? One of the things I'm not sure I can handle. I'm not sure I can handle being a regular church pastor, because somebody will call me and say, oh, something just happened to me, and I've scolded you, and I think, you called me first to do what? To hold your hand and pray like a baby? What have you done? Did you speak the word of God to it? How did your child break a bone and you're in the hospital crying? What are you crying for? What happened to the word of God in your mouth? The other time we talked about the role and the capacity of women as an incubator, the ones that allows death and life into this world. You are a mother and children are around you, not optimally performing in their lives. You're accepting it. You're accepting it. This is where you stand out as a woman of God. You are the one that should say no, no, no. Devil, no. Yeah, doctor, thank you. Devil, no. Instead, people will be fighting doctor. Doctor, doctor, you didn't do enough. Doctor, my child must not die. You are fighting the wrong person. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. If you don't understand where to channel your energy to, it will be wasted grace upon your life. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Please help me. Please come.
Brother Victor here believes. The Bible did not say that Brother Victor will be struggling to show everybody that he's a believer. The Bible said the signs of his believing are following him to move. He walks like this, the sign follows him. He walks like that, the sign follows him. Do you know what that means, sir? It means that you will be in the hospital. You will not lay hands. You will just be in the hospital. And recovering of sickness will be around you. The complaint I want to get from your hospital is that every time people come to this hospital, you are not allowing them to make money from drugs, because the moment they see you, they are healed. These signs shall follow them that believe. Thank you. It's following you. It's escorting you. You are not trying to show. Listen, there was a time that Jesus, it was in the book of Matthew that we just went through. Jesus walked into the synagogue. He had not healed the person. He just walked into the synagogue. And the first question is, are you going to heal on the Sabbath day? He had not healed anybody. He didn't do anything. He just entered. But because he had grown a reputation of one that does not allow sickness and pain be around him. Do you know that one of the reasons why you struggle with evangelism is because there's no power inside of you to show forth his glory? Look at Jesus now. The Bible says he approached a man that was blind, looked at the man, spat on the ground, made clay, rubbed it on his eyes, said, go and wash. He had not preached to the man yet. He didn't say, accept me as the Lord and personal Savior, otherwise he will not be healed. He didn't preach to him. He healed him first and stepped aside. And when the guy was healed, he did not see the person that healed him. People are... But this is not the guy that used to be blind. He said, yes. And they took him. And they said, how are you seeing? He said, I don't know. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. Where is the person that healed you? I don't know. It was not a show-off. Jesus left him, walked away. And later on, when he met Jesus, Jesus said, I love Jesus. Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, anywhere the Son of God is, I will believe. Where is he? And Jesus said, I am he, Master. Have you gotten to the point in your life where you will not be arguing with people, struggling? Say, it's God, it's not God. I'll show you it's God, it's not God. How about evolution? I don't know. Emptiness is what brings arguments. Let the glory of God be revealed in your life. May we run to you. Where do you start? You start in your manner of communication. You have to always acknowledge him. and he will guide you in all your ways. It is Christ that is able to lift a man from the dust and take him to the heights of this world. It's not by power and might. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 62 that he will make a little a thousand, and a small shall become a great nation. Have I not spoken it in my word? How do you need to go about it? James chapter 1 verse 9. Say, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you always. This is what David knew when he said, by my God, I will leap over a wall. By my God, I will run through a troop. Because he knew, was more than sure, that he that was with him was greater than he that was in this world. He knew it, he had experienced it. Every time in your life, you need to be full enough of the word of God to be able to speak. The book, I think that was Isaiah 50. He said that God will give you the tongue of the learned so that you will speak a word in due season. Have you seen people that when they talk, everybody is angry? They say, out of point. What are we saying? What are you saying? That's when you speak things. You talk and everybody, what's wrong with this guy? But when you speak a word in due season, people are talking, you talk and everybody's like, God's word is in the mouth of this person. One of the things, as I close, that I've seen is that men are expecting the Lord to come from heaven and intervene in the matters of this life when he has put you here. The reason why the world is in such disarray is because they that carry the fullness of his presence are sitting down afraid, not doing anything. Not doing anything. People pray, oh God, come and help us. Oh God, come and intervene. Oh God, come and intervene with you here, with the word of life in your mouth. My kids started playing volleyball. And one of the things I saw happen, I see that happens in that sport for kids, is that you go for training. Your kids do sports, right? You go for training, you carry them for training, you carry them, you tell them, oh, hit like this, hit like that. Don't be afraid. You continue to drill them. They jog, they run, they do everything they need to do. On game day, on the day of the game, Sister Pearl, can you enter the court and play for your son? Brothers and sisters, your walk on earth is game day. God will not enter the court and play for you. He's standing on the side as your coach, as your guard, as your counselor, as your advocate. He's standing on the side telling you. But you know what many Christians do? Many Christians are praying, Lord, Uncle Charles, Jemima was in volleyball, right? Imagine if after all the investment in time and training you have done on Jemima, she gets to the court, and when somebody serves, boom, she say, Lord, let ball not come near me. Be ashamed. Say, what? Go anymore. When you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, let no trouble come my way. Let no trouble come my children's way. He said it's your present help in time of trouble. He has given you everything you need to go against whatever trouble that comes your way in the day. You are hiding, say, let no trouble come my way. You are embarrassing the host of heaven. They are standing there cheering you on. Say, go, go, go. Say, God, let problem not come my way. Let problem not come my way. What are you doing? Get out there. Every adversity that comes your way is your own. Which one is Lord? Is it only me? Is it only me? Last week was my business. This week is my truth. It's only you. The host of heaven standing by, waiting for you to take action. Yes, Lord. Ah, this thing has become too much. Oh, I don't know why. He will soon call you home. Say, come and stay on the bench. Send another person. But don't you feel proud as a parent when that serve comes, boom, and your child takes it? You jump out of your seat. Say, yes! When trouble comes your way, You go to the hospital and say, oh, there's cancer on your left breast. That's not the time to be saying, oh,
I know this cancer.
As they give you that report, you take it. You walk out. You say, Lord, I thank you, for you have given me this power to prevail over this cancer. The host of heaven is saying, yes. Tell them, God is standing on his feet, waiting for you to declare his word. Angels have been dispatched. Things are changing your life. Everything that has not changed in your life, and you are crying about, oh, the host of heaven is hiding their face. You say, oh, we put this guy there. Attack everything. Do you know that the reason why things are troubling you is because you're not troubling anything else? Have you seen that employee in your office that is very troublesome? The person likes trouble. Even if it's another person's trouble, if the person should hear, he will get involved. Is that the kind of employee you want to go and look for their trouble? Other people will be telling you, say, leave him alone, this one is not well. That should be your story. When they sit down in their covens, when they sit down in their small gatherings, and they are saying, oh, let's stand against this person, they should be advising themselves that, leave this one, he's not well. Leave this one. The last time we tried anything, he freed his child, he went to hospital, he healed somebody on the way. He did everything in such a way that the devil does not like you in his space. That should be your story. That should be your story. If one thing goes wrong with a child of yours, a friend of yours, and you get involved, Say, oh, somebody is playing sports and they break leg, and you get involved. As you carry your child to that hospital, you are supposed to be prognosing. You look at the next person and say, are you okay? Let me see. What happened to you? Let's pray. You go to the next. They say, Oga, stay in your child's cubicle. You say, I'm okay. I'm coming. Hold on a second. Oga, leave the hospital. You and your child be going. Because you are healing everybody in the hospital. You are changing lives everywhere you find yourself. That's the kind of person you should be. Don't make the devil comfortable to be harassing you left, right, and center. And you are crying every day. Don't let the host of heaven be embarrassed on your behalf. God is waiting to cheer you on. Irrespective of how difficult you feel the adversity is against you, he's waiting to cheer you on. You need to start changing your language. You need to start speaking words of life and words of hope to yourself. You need to start saying these things to yourself. You need to start saying that the Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies, they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though a war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Don't be beggarly. David said, I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous. No, he's seen begging bread. In the morning or in the night, take on the whole armor of God. Look at the adversities you have. They are like seraphs coming towards you. Stop shying away. Stop praying, oh God, when will this thing stop? Start facing it. Even if you were going to lay down your life, don't die a coward. Die a soldier of Christ. Die a soldier of Christ. David said about Abner, Abner died like a fool. Did they tie your hands and your legs that somebody came and stabbed you to death? Even if you want to go out as a general of Christ. Take on the bloodstained banner of our Lord Jesus Christ and sing it, let the whole world hear, so that when you stand before your Savior, he will say, when you stand before your Savior, he will say, well done. Choir, he will say, well done. You need to always understand that the Lord is for you. He is for you. He constantly and continues to be there for you. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, help me to understand the weight of your power, that your glory will be revealed in me. Help me, Lord Jesus, to see you how you are, that I will not underperform, I will not underutilize your glory, in the name of our Lord Jesus.